Hey guys, what's going on? Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to give you a little heads up that this was a little test I ran. I was in the car, and so I thought, I'm going to do a freestyle podcast episode. And there was a couple things I wanted to talk about. So the content flowed. It was a real stream of consciousness. I definitely enjoyed doing this. I always enjoy doing it. But it's been a long time since I have done a solo show without writing out show notes first. So anyways, want to give you a heads up. I've done the best I could with some noise removal, and there's a little bit in the beginning, but other than that, I think we're pretty good. So with that, let's jump into today's show. Hey there, it's Kim Doyle, and welcome to my show, where digital marketing meets real stories, experiences, and strategies. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look at what's working and not working in my business, as well as other experts who show up and share their stories. As much as I love talking about tangible marketing principles and tactics, we'll dig a little deeper with mindset and explore what's required to create a business you love on your terms that also supports your life. I want to help you understand the why behind the how. Whether you're a seasoned marketer or just dipping your toes in, remember, marketing is a journey and the goal is to enjoy it. My desire is to guide you on your journey and remind you that no matter what life throws at you, you've got this. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Kim Doyle Show. I am your host, your hostess with the mostest, is Kim Doyle. And we're doing a little test today because you can probably tell from the audio, but I am not recording in my home studio at my desk with my good mic. I'm actually in the car. And just something happened last week, guys. It's the last couple of weeks have been squirrely. I am officially now like doing the countdown to Costa Rica again, 3 months here. So doing that and still working on a lot of stuff at my dad's house. His house, of course, is for sale. If you're new here, welcome. I usually do a little quick catch up here, so bear with me. And then we'll get into it. And today is this is freestyling, you guys. I don't have notes or an outline in the car, but I have a few things I want to share with you, talk to you about today. So we're going to do that. But yeah, I spent last weekend going through my storage unit. Here's the crazy thing. So I've kept a storage unit. And the funny thing is, I would have been cheaper if I had bought a shed or something and just put it on my dad's property, keeping storage, but it is what it is. So, anywho, I have been going through my storage unit because I wanted to get rid of stuff. I am taking my art stuff to Costa Rica with me. I've got a lot. I've got watercolors and pens and colored pencils and got watercolor pencils and pens also. Anyways, I really want to have that stuff down there with me. So, plus, I knew that I had things in storage from Boise. Here's the crazy thing, guys. So when I left Boise, that was March of 2021, end of March. And I literally have boxes that said, master bedroom, go through before Costa Rica. Office, go through before Costa Rica. Now, clearly I didn't. It was funny. And, you know, it was one of those things with storage. For the most part, I've got like holiday decor, some memory stuff, books. I've got some books in storage. I really did not keep a lot of physical books, though. And I've got a bunch of my daughter's stuff. I have a little bit of my son's stuff, which is fine. You know, they don't have storage, and it doesn't make or break me. And then I also have a bunch of my dad's stuff that I had moved into storage to make room to be this house. Anyway. But I purged, man. I had a full truckload to go to the dumps. I have taken boxes back to the house to go through and condense and pull stuff out to take. So it's just been nuts. But here's the funny thing is that, one, it felt really good to get off the computer. I mean, you guys have to know that too, right? Like, you know, that feeling of, I love what I do. I really could work every day. But one, it loses the joy for sure. There's plenty of other things I would prefer to do, but if I don't have something scheduled or planned, it's super easy to just feel like I should do something, you know? And this is coming from the girl who's all about F the hustle and simplicity and ease. That being said,
it just was great to get off the computer and I didn't listen to podcasts. I brought a big old water bottle with me and I just listened to music and it was, gosh, 70, 76 last weekend. It was beautiful. It's been chilly and gray, foggy today, but you like the weather report? Anyway, yeah, it's life's just been busy nonstop. So anyway, we're back at it today and I want to test doing this because one, I'm working on getting some more interviews back on the show. Maybe you guys are sick of hearing just me talk to you. But two is when I write out the podcast, that's an hour long, right? Or let's say 45 minutes to an hour. Those are usually 22 to 2500 word posts. And they take a chunk of time to write, and then I format them and I optimize, then I record, and editing doesn't take a lot. Obviously, you guys can tell I don't cut out ums and ahs or sneezing or whatever. But this needs to, I don't want to say this, this needs to stay fun, and not pressure for something to do. And so I am on a mission to get a little bit more ahead of everything. It's, I don't know what else to say other than it's been a crazy year. So, all right. This, what we're going to talk about today is, well, a couple things. First, I had a great call. Jason, my friend Jason Resnick and I do a weekly accountability little mastermind call. And I have a couple girlfriends that I do that with every other week. Jason and I meet weekly. And that all stemmed from trying to do a collaboration with like an email marketing summit, which then we both were like, I don't want to do a summit. I don't want to do a summit. But our calls are really good for us. So it was funny though today, because what happened to me after last weekend where like I worked in my storage unit most of one day and then I did a bunch of stuff around the house, like clean the refrigerator, because this may be more boring than I know, but bear with me. And I was a very productive physical off the computer weekend. And so then what happens is a few days later when you're, I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, I jump into work then and I'm really starting to get, you know, a day of rest. And I love resting, guys. I like to chill. I'm all about that. But when things are busy, you just kind of keep going. And then naturally for me, was it Tuesday afternoon by like 2, I was like, oh, I'm working. I'm just a bride. And same thing Wednesday, I got off the computer, you know, pseudo early for me. And I have a tendency to be on my laptop at night later when I'm just kind of watching TV, but not necessarily working. And it caught up to me. And so Jason and I were talking today, and I said, you ever have just one of those weeks where it's like, you just can't get into it? And he's like, yes, I'm having one right now. And so we started talking about that. And you know, I just started thinking about the different seasons in the year, let alone our lives. But it's we're not supposed to sustain. I wish we could in many ways, although I don't know if we'd appreciate it, but I wish we could sustain that, like the feeling I had last weekend when I was enjoying the warmth. It was just a like not a cloud in the sky, you guys. And I take for granted having grown up in California. Like I send photos to my friend Leslie in Scotland, and she's always like, oh my God, the blue skies, which I'm sure a lot of people in the UK feel that multiple times a year, right? And I hats off to them. I couldn't do it. But again, when you know, it is what you know. And I really at this point in my life need some sunshine. But anyway, I wish I could sustain that energy where I'm up and amped and productive. That would be so great every day. But at the same time, I don't know that we would appreciate it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're sick and you've been sick and down for a few days and you start feeling better. And then the first day you feel normal and yourself and you're like, oh my God, this feels phenomenal, right? You don't realize, you take for granted your health. Is what I would say, and that's a very broad statement, but it is really easy to take those things for granted. And the nice thing is, at this stage in my life, I know that I'm not gonna be in this kind of. It's not a negative move, but I'm like, whatever. You know, like, something's late. It's like, I mean, I don't have anything where I'm like letting a client down or stuff's not happening or anything like that. But, oh, sorry, guys, my ears, the elevation's dropping a little here. My ears are dropping. Anyway, so this is very interesting. One of the things I want to talk to you about, and there's two points we're going to hit on today. And this first one is I had started watching a video with Vanessa Lau. Now, if you're not familiar with Vanessa Lau, she was a huge YouTuber. I would say she probably still is, but she was a big YouTuber. She had done Boss Graham Academy. She had this incredible YouTube. She had a course, excuse me, on Instagram, but also grew her business via YouTube, right? And multiple seven figures, grew a huge company, all this stuff. And don't quote me on this. I don't think Vanessa's even 30 yet, or maybe barely. And a year ago, she had just launched a mastermind and she shut everything down and said she was taking a sabbatical from her business. And I was like, good on ya. Truly, anytime anybody chooses themselves first, I think it's fantastic. And I think it took massive courage, right? I mean, essentially, she was at this height. And so she came back after a year. And I watched the video of why she took the year off and everything. And then the second video I just watched was, I want to say, it was something about pivoting is hard. Now, let's be clear too. I've got 30 plus years on Vanessa, which is where this perspective is coming from. And my heart just went out to her because the video opens and it's text on the screen. You don't see her face, but she's crying and, oh my God, I effed up. And why did I let myself get taken advantage of? And how did I do this? And what if I can't come back? And all of this stuff, you guys. And so then she pivots and she's on camera and she's talking about it. And she's like, and I know I'm self-sabotaging with these thoughts because then I'm thinking this, but what if? And like on and on and on and on. Okay. And I'm totally paraphrasing here. And I think I'm going to go back and comment on the video because where I'm at in my life again is everything she was saying, and please hear my heart because I'm really and truly not dismissing anything that she's saying or feeling, but all I could think about was, oh my God, girl, none of this matters. and not in the sense that her feelings don't matter, but all of the concerns and the fears and she's talking about, you know, I didn't trust myself and I don't trust myself, but you guys, how do you think we get to the trust? It's because we make mistakes. That's how we learn. My therapist said to me one time, Kim, you get to fuck up. You get to fuck up. And it was like, oh, okay. We all do. We all make choices we wish we hadn't made. We say things we wish we hadn't said. We do things. And it's so easy to have those opinions about the things we've done or choices we've made after the fact. But the truth is, you have to choose to be easy about it. What's going on right now is she is in massive resistance, and I'm going to just play my armchair psychologist, right? So 21 years of therapy here. I've read and practiced so much of this, and the resistance, when you find yourself in that angsty place, you're resisting, and what she's resisting is probably the discomfort, and here's the other piece of this, is it's okay to be afraid. We have to learn to be able to sit with those feelings. We have to learn to be able to say, I'm scared. I don't know. Now, I don't know that it's devil's advocate, but what I was thinking was, girl, you have more evidence in your life that you can do this again than you do that you can't. She's already done it once. I mean, you've heard that probably before of, you know, multimillionaires who are older in life. And they're like, if you could keep your money and lose your mind, I mean, not lose your mind, but and lose all the knowledge or forget, there's some sort of metaphor, right? And most of them say, take the money. I can make it again because they have the skill set now. They have the skill set. And so that's my thought, is that, Vanessa, you already did this. Now you get to do it softer. You get to do it wiser. You get to listen to yourself a little bit more. But the truth is, she has more evidence of her skill set and her abilities. She made multiple seven figures. And she's been honest about, you know, I understand that I am privileged to be able to have taken a year off, sabbatical. Yes and no, she was privileged in the sense that she worked to earn the money to take the year off. Okay, so I don't know that I would call it privilege, but I would say she earned that year off, if anything else. But all of this stuff, you know, so in circling back to my conversation with Jason, we were talking about this. And the other piece he said is he's thinking, you got to stop repeating this, because she's kind of talked about this a couple times. But language, there's power in the words we choose. And there is, when you keep telling the same stories over and over and over again, what do you think you're creating? And, you know, a belief is simply a thought you keep thinking. You know, and I'm not talking about, well, I'm sure somebody who is, you know, highly educated in quantum physics would change it. Like, I'm not saying, oh, I believe that I'm driving a car right now, right? I mean, maybe in a parallel universe I'm not. I don't know. But the point is, you know what I'm saying? So, but these beliefs and the concern and the fear. And so, like, one thing Jason was saying, which I thought was fascinating, was not only is she recording this content, she's editing it. So she's hearing it again. And then she's putting it out there and she's hearing it again. And so, you know, and I'm not judging her for anything she's choosing to share. Vulnerability is hard. I think it takes courage. But it felt to me like I was the same way. And again, I don't even know if she's 30, but in my 30s, man, I took so much pride in how productive I could be and what everything else looked like to the rest of the world. And, you know, a perfect example is I remember I started my business at 38. I'm 53. And when I started, I truly wanted to be a motivational speaker at one point, like in college, right? I spoke at my high school graduation. I was a speech major for a while. So obviously it's not a surprise that I have a podcast. And I thought, oh my gosh, I want to speak on stages to thousands. And now I'm all, I don't think so. I mean, it's not that people are banging on my door to do it, but it's just not that important. I love the quality of my life. And I still have big goals and dreams and desires and all of that. But it looks so different than it did when I was in my early 30s. And, you know, again, not to negate what Vanessa is feeling or what she's going through, but this girl is talented. She's skilled. She's clearly a hard worker. I just want to say, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle, soften into all of this, because no one is shamed into permanent lasting change. No one is belittled into permanent lasting change. Those things are detrimental to our well-being and our souls, all of that. And so it was just, to the point where it was almost painful. I couldn't finish it, right? I went through like half of it, but I do think I want to go back and say a lot of what I just shared with you guys, because I mean, there's nothing in me that thinks that she won't create the lifestyle, the business, and all of these things differently on her terms in a way that serves her now, having been through what she's been through, right? It is our experiences, good and bad, struggles, wins, all of it, that bring us to who we are. And ideally, we learn from them and we practice and we implement changes and we make conscious decisions to move through our lives differently. And gosh, my therapist said to me one time that 20% of the population is self-actualized, meaning all of these things I'm talking to you about, where you actually say at some point, I want to do this different and I'm open to other ways of thinking or being or, working, whatever that looks like for you. I mean, if someone had told me at not even 30 that you're going to live in Costa Rica single, one, I was married, right? I was widowed. And so there was nothing in me that would have thought I would have ever, ever left my family. Millionaires, you guys, born and raised in the Bay Area. And life circumstances changed all of that for me. And so we don't know what the future holds. We don't know how things are going to play out. So it's all about our behavior and our conscious choices. And so, I think she is doing a lot of reflection and, you know, introspection and all of that. But there's zero point. And it's okay to feel sad. I mean, there's zero point. I didn't finish that sentence. There's zero point in being hard on yourself about it. It literally, what good is that going to do? What good is that going to do? As Dr. Wayne Dyer always says, you know, you can't drive the boat with the wake. The wake is what the engine behind the boat is creating. And so, here's another bit of wisdom from my therapist. I was talking to her last week, and I was talking about feeling angsty about something after something good had happened. And I was like, but what if this is it? And it's like, and my logical brain knows it's not true. My higher self knows, but my ego wants to get in there, right? And she said, Kim, the fact that it showed up means you did believe it already. And I was like, ow, blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God. I said, you could have saved me. Why didn't you say this 15 years ago? And she started laughing. She said, I don't know that you would have gotten it, and I don't know that I had it for you at that point. And I said, I totally agree. And so that doesn't mean things aren't hard or it doesn't suck in the moment, but it's so not worth the energy. And part of this obviously is her journey, but all I could do was feel compassion for how hard she was being herself. And at the end of the day, like, all of this stuff, online business, making bills, none of it matters. And you guys, I'm not saying that your business doesn't matter, you don't matter, but right, it's health, the people we love, and truly the quality of life. And I think we're going to see a lot of people are just kind of going in terms of marketing and online business, because all the BS that worked over the last, you know, 15 plus years, it's shifting. It's a mature market, and people are tired of the grind, of the hustle, right? So people are tired of it. And, you know, there's so much, limbo's not the right word. What's the word I'm looking for? But like in flux right now, where the world's a crazy place, it just is. We've got AI moving at the speed of light. I mean, things are changing faster than we could have imagined. And so you have to create a solid foundation under your feet for you. You have to live by your values. You have to choose what's important to you, which continues back on my conversation with Jason. And I, we're both talking about social limits, and we're both running paid traffic now. We're committed to mastering paid traffic this year. Because we're both like, you know, and I'll always have a presence on social. And I have said before, this is my year of doing the work, because I just, the clarity I have now, and with the work I'm doing and everything is content, it's not right, because I'm not the same person I was, but it feels like I'm back. Like my focus, my energy, my clarity, and my confidence level. And I swear, I never thought I would be so thrilled to be over 50. I said this to one of my sister's friends. She was like, really? Because she's almost 50. I was like, yeah, it's awesome. Because I don't care. So much stuff I just don't care about anymore. And it's not from a place of being rude. But at the end of the day, I have to do work that I love. I want to spend time on things that bring me joy, that excite me. I love to learn. And so this year of mastering paid traffic, you know, if that can replace social, I will do it all day long and pay someone to make sure my presence on social is there. And then I'll hop on to engage and connect my one. But we were just talking about it because, you know, the other thing is, it's weird. And I'd love to hear what anyone else thinks in terms of, you know, we've all heard the bro marketers term, and I just feel like the creators, and I'm not going to call out names, but these are a lot of the Twitter bros or whatever. But the creators have taken the place of the internet marketers, because the internet marketers have all moved on and have big companies now, or have just left this space or whatever. But all these internet marketing gurus, again, men, have been replaced by creator bros. And it's like, Jesus. And, you know, there are, again, how many billions of people on the planet? Is it 3 billion? I don't know. Don't ask me. But there's billions of people on the planet. And I'd Google it, right? But I'm driving, so I won't. But let go of all of these, the stuff that your ego is saying, you need more followers, you know, or here's a great example. I was talking to Jason about it. This is the, you know, I don't know if Russell Brunson was the originator of the Dream 100, but that idea of make a list of 100 people and it's your network and all that stuff. And it's like, all these people that are up on a pedestal that you are aspiring to connect with and have a friendship and relationship with. Well, I just, there's something about that that is idolatry the right word? Like, you know, I don't fangirl over celebrities or athletes or any of that, or God forbid, TV reality stars. And I'm not hat tip. Not a hat tip, but no judgment if you do, okay? No judgment, and no judgment if you like reality TV. I can't do it unless it's like HGTV stuff because it causes me angst. I do not like watching people bicker and argue and throw each other on the bus. It truly causes me angst. I'm like, why would I watch this? I don't feel good. I'll just watch Harry Potter again. Anyway, but there are so many other people to connect with and do business with, you know, but when you get stuck in these circles and you get stuck trying to get on a big name person's radar, you're missing the other 30 people who might be where you're at, and you guys can lift each other up together. I think there is a shift. I don't know what that means, what it looks like, but I do think there's a shift happening there. All right. So let me just do a quick check, and I hope this is not terribly loud, you guys, since I am. It's longer than I thought for my freestyle. But there's something else I want to talk to you guys about. And that is doing things simply. And I have a very specific marketing example. Okay, and I'm not going to, I shared this in my newsletter this week, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. So I was talking to a friend that I have that I had to catch up with, and I didn't have to. I reached out, I'm like, we haven't talked. I think probably since I was in Costa Rica. So anyways, we had a chat, and he's a great guy, and he kind of gave me an update on, you know, where he's at, what he's doing, and same thing. And here's the other piece of this for people of my generation. You know, now we're at this stage where, okay, kids are probably grown and on their own, but now we're taking care of parents, right? And so he had said that his parents have health issues. He's been very involved with that. But he had this idea for another business, and well, it's all in the same category, but it's very specific, a very specific target market, and it's a great service. And I was like, this is a great idea. It's also a market that would serve a higher ticket, like a higher price point. The perceived value is there, excuse me, as well as his skill set and value and knowledge, right? So it's not just like, I'm not saying that, oh, these people have money, so then you can charge more. That's not it. It's a high quality, high touch service. All right. So we were talking about it, and it was like, oh, you know, should I do it as its own brand and site, or should I do it under my other one? I said, here's what I would do. I said, start creating content about this, but more around it. All right. So let me... I'm going to use everything as content as an example. And I wish I should have picked up something. I could have been very, let's just go with everything as content. I'm sorry, you guys. I was thinking about making up a scenario, like, let's say I wanted to do a business around moving to Costa Rica, but that's going to go sideways. So everything is content. I did the whole podcast, the 5-part series on this, and it was like this inspired idea. And here's the really cool thing, you guys. My friend that I was talking to about his business idea and stuff, shared with me a blog post he had done. He has a compilation. He's published a book every year, and it's a roundup type of a book. It was the first three. He asked me last year, and I just was so busy. But on 2019, and I'm right there, and it says, Kim Doyle, everything is content. So it was really fun to see that, because there's also this validation that I feel like I've come home to myself and I'm back, because I've been saying everything is content for six, eight years. I couldn't find the exact start, but anyways. So everything is content comes to me, this inspired idea on a Sunday afternoon. So I write a 5-part email series, right? So I'm talking about everything is content. Then I turn that into a blog post, which was a 5-part email series turned into a 4,500 word post, table of contents, all that stuff. Then I'm like, well, I think I'll do a workshop on this. But then I went, wait a minute, let me take the 5 pieces of the framework and I'm going to record individual videos. And then I'm going to record, I'll take the video and turn it into a podcast. So as I'm doing all this, and I thought, I'm going to just start using the hashtag again. And so I'm starting to talk about everything as content. And I've now done a couple ads with this. And so you see where I'm just starting to talk, but I'm not launching a signature course. Now, I did offer coaching sessions, which will be coming back, and a workshop. And now I'm going to do more of a one-on-one coaching with a group element. But the point is, I just started talking about it. And now what I'm doing is any content that I do socially, I'm going to start incorporating everything as content. I have put everything as content on my LinkedIn profile. Need to update my Facebook business page. I have to see where else I did it, because I'm going to do it on YouTube also. But the point is, I will be known for everything as content. At a certain point, it's going to be like, oh, she's the everything as content girl. And I'm not saying to be known for a thing, okay? The point is, I just started talking about it before I made any way, shape, or form of an offer. So I told him, okay, you've got this great niche. You know what platform your audience is on. Start talking about it, but sort of in a broader sense about the value of your service for this target market. Maybe do sort of a reverse case study. That's not quite the right term, but meaning pick somebody in your space and say, here's how my service, and I know I'm being cryptic, but here's how my service could serve this person. And he's like, do I need to get their permission? I said, not at all, because you're going to be talking about them in a positive light. Why you pick them, because they're great at what they do. They're a leader in their field, blah, 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 blah. You know, some may suffer, but all of a sudden there's this tangible benefit to what he does. So I said, simply start talking about it. And so I did that. Here's another example. So I have another good friend, and she is looking at white labeling some software for her market, which is home builders, remodelers, right? Very target market. And I said, so we started talking, and that's a long story, but pardon me. I think probably when I get talking like this, I'm just going too quickly and, you know, sucking in air. Anyways, so I was talking to her, and I was talking to her as I was writing my newsletter about the story with my friend. And I said, I'm going to forward you tomorrow's newsletter because I think this would work for you too. Because she recently had 2 clients reach out. She does writing services, content, and some SEO, and reach out about automations. And I said, validate the offer organically. And this absolutely 100% is a hat tip to Laurel Portier and her ad strategy, her ad ecosystem, about validating things with these $5 ads, right? Find out before you go to the trouble to create some big course that nobody wants. And so I told my friend the same thing. And she was like, oh my God. I said, talk in broader terms about this. And this is like social content, you guys. I'm talking about, you know, whether it's a post or a quick video or a soundbite. And maybe it is one problem you can solve using a potential service you're going to be offering. But get the validation through organic posting first. Now, yes, it might take a little bit longer, Hold on, guys. Sorry. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm in behind a horse trailer. And he just had to go really, really wide. I'm all, are you turning, buddy? So anyway, you know, it's organic is down. I totally get that. But this is why I do love floral strategy. But I told my friend, both of them, I said, you know, pick the platform where your audience is, where you can, you know, get some feedback, some engagement, and take the time to email your list as well. So is this something you'd be interested in? Do some simple surveys, three questions, you know, that's it. And so for me, how I'm sort of implementing this validate, and it's like when Laurel says it's 90 days to data with her ad ecosystem, I'm in phase one, barely off the starting line, right? But I am doing it. And I have a first call with somebody next week from the ad. And this is after Facebook, you guys. I messaged her. She said, oh, I replied back. This was on a comment on a post on an ad. I, for the life of me, I still have no idea where that message thread went. I went into the Meta Business Suite, whatever. So we'll see what happens with the next set of ads I deploy. But anyways, I said to this woman, I friended her, and then I sent her a message. I said, I this is the strangest thing to me. I have no idea where this went. I said, I missed a step here. One of the things that Laurel teaches, and this is all about the validation, guys. So I am circling back to this simple validation piece through marketing organically. But when somebody messages you, because it's basically comment this and I'll give you a thing, right? But you're not just going, here's the thing. You ask an open-ended question. And I'm going to be super transparent with you guys that it's not a sales are not a natural comfort level for me, because then I instantly go into this, like, you know, guilt of, oh, well, but I'm supposed to give her this thing. And it's like, of course I'm going to give it to her. And, but the question was about something, what are you struggling with through content, right? Because I'm really in this data gathering stage. I want to know where people are struggling. I want to hear their language. I want to hear their challenges. Like, I can, not to be egotistical. Okay. I should just erase that because I'm also done pre-qualifying and apologizing for my skill sets. So I'm not going to do that again. But I can hop on with anybody who's struggling with content and help them get clear and create a plan. So what I did is, so we messaged back and forth the messenger, and I said, would you be up for a Zoom call? I said, no charge. I said, but if you find it valuable, I'd love a testimonial. And she said, that would be great. Thank you. And because I need to talk to more people, I feel like in the last 6 years, I kind of pulled back from more of a public persona. And so I want to have these conversations. And I'm going to do stuff discounted for a while because I'm in this for the long haul. But having a single conversation does not mean I'm going to give away 50 conversations a week. It was something I felt in my gut to do, right? And as I get better at all of these processes, that's fine. And I'm just really committed to following. You guys hear stuff sliding around the back? I'm sorry. I'm committed to following these processes and letting things compound. And then when I have a week, like the two new videos I have to put up for ads, I have had done for like a week and a half. And just the last week and a half was crazy. And then, I hate it when people get on the freeway at the pace of a turtle. Anyways, I've had them done. So then I went to go do the ads today. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is a different lead magnet. I think I need a different campaign. So I need to go back. Watch the whole video again. I'm like, all right, girl, from now on, Mondays for me are going to be making these videos. Whether or not I deploy them all right away or not is completely irrelevant. It's practicing the process. And so the same is true with this validating content. And it's Jason and I were talking this morning about our ads. Like, we're both following, he's doing a lead gen strategy specific, and I'm doing this. It's a content video views, and then you do retargeting, right? Which really drives the cost down. And so we're both doing it, and we're both saying, oh man, this is the patience young Jedi phase that we're both in, because there are so many pieces of the puzzle, meaning, okay, so the ad's working, but now can you bring the ad cost down? And now they're on your list, but nobody has gone through your welcome sequence and purchased yet. Maybe you need to change the offer. Maybe you need to change the thank you page. Maybe you need to change the image in the ad. Like, there's so many moving parts, but you don't know until you start testing it. And so this is where, you know, anything you want to try and do, do whatever it takes to get the validation first. I was telling another friend, you know, I've got some kind of epic pieces of content on my site. And I thought, you know, like my everything is content. I'm like, well, what if I ran traffic paid? What if I ran a traffic campaign? Meaning you get to set the goal with Facebook, right? So right now the ads they're being optimized for video views. Now, the traffic ads would be optimized for traffic just to a blog post. And then let's see if I can capture some of those people's name and email, right? Of course, I could run lead ads. They tend to be just not a great quality, or they don't stick around. But it's all testing, and you have to be willing to test longer term. So just to the exact same point with social, you know, this doesn't mean you post once or twice a week and see if something is validated by your audience. You post multiple times a day. If you can, you know, I'm not, do the best you can, right? But the more you do, the sooner you will get results. It's kind of like with the paid traffic. Well, the more videos I test, and I can test the videos organically, and then if I'm getting traction with somebody asking for the lead magnet organically, then why not run that as an ad? So there's all these things, but the point is, you know, start talking about stuff, start sharing it. Oh, no, you guys, I just hit traffic. I'm so spoiled up where I live. There is no traffic. And then same thing in Costa Rica. I'm like, the most traffic I run into are cows crossing the road or something. But anyway, what am I complaining about? It's not raining. It's sunny. You know, so, but just have the patience. But test stuff to get a feel for it. And there's certain types of things where you have to, that was so vague, certain types of things. There's certain types of marketing that you may not like doing, but just be clear with yourself. If you don't like doing it because it's uncomfortable, or you really don't like it, right? Because the thing is, like, you're not going to get comfortable until you do it. And so for me, like LinkedIn, I've half-assed it for sure. But starting to post on LinkedIn, where I literally avoided it like the plague, and I'm like, well, let's just see what happens here. And you know, so all of this is testing, but there's so many places you can try things out, get a feel for stuff, and watch what happens. And the other side to that is when you're just going, this is a test, I'm going to see if this resonates. It removes so much pressure from you having to start selling an offer, right? And you just get the feedback. And when I say feedback, guys, give it 30 to 90 days, like be consistent with it. And so if you need the new thing you're doing to pay the mortgage, it's going to be tough without any validation. And if you want to speed it up, you can validate ideas and offers with paid traffic. I would highly recommend Laurel's whopping $7 a month Facebook ads for you if you want to do that. But either way, you guys, there's so many ways to do this. This kind of ties into what I was saying about Vanessa earlier and just choosing some ease with it. It's to take it so seriously. I could care less about the quantity of followers on platforms at this stage. I'm like, Kim, just focus on doing good work, serving the people you're here to serve, and enjoying the process. This is just a little bit of a, whatever, phase. And again, I'm doing the work, you guys, and I've got big goals and dreams and stuff, but I have to tell you, it's all supported through the quality of life and the ease that I want to live. I want simplicity in my life. Well, I heard a term the other day from Jesse Gland, G-L-Y-N-N-E, right? But the song, I don't remember the name of the song, but it was Sacred Simplicity. And I thought, that is delightful. That just feels good, right? Sacred simplicity, because you're protective of it. Then you have boundaries, and, you know, huge part of why I'm going to Costa Rica. Anyway, I hope this made sense. I would love some feedback, guys, on this freestyle. And oh, wow, I'm impressed. I was always nervous about doing this. I did these years ago, but I was a little concerned about doing a freestyle episode because of I tend to talk in circles a little bit, which is why I always thought, oh, I have to have the show notes in front of me. But you know what? How much easier this would be if I freestyled stuff and then I'll just post the transcripts. Food for thought, but I'd love your feedback. Anyways, as always, guys, thanks for living. Thanks for living. Thanks for listening. I love you tons. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening. I'll catch you next week.